Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast, number 1982. The topic is nutrition, and the title is, Do You Need to Avoid Sugar? Non-Diabetic Sugar Control Impact on Body Fat. That's a lot. That's a mouthful. But I wanted to address all of that in the title. The second part of the title, Non-Diabetic Sugar Control Impact on Body Fat, isn't really, that's not going to get a lot of attention. Most people are going to hear non-diabetic and kind of tune out already. So I wanted to add the first part, which is, do you need to avoid sugar? But I wanted to also specify that we're looking at non-diabetic situations. And I'll give you some background as to why that is. But how somebody would manage sugar when they're diabetic versus when they're not diabetic, there are some nuance and differences. However, there are a lot of similarities as well. If you're wanting to learn more about controlling sugar for diabetes, you can go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com. There's a page, Free Nutrition Education. If you scroll down on that page, the entries are in alphabetical order after the first entry. The first entry is create your own nutrition program. You can actually view and print a document that will teach you how to set up your own nutrition program. Very helpful. If you've been listening to the podcast for a decent amount of time, you probably heard me mention that. But we also have nutrition information for arthritis, cholesterol, diabetes, so you can check that one out. Diastasis recti, which is more of like an exercise thing, but people would go to the nutrition for it, so I just put it there. And then recovering from an eating disorder, specifically under eating. A lot of people assume eating issues are related to overeating. There are a lot of people that have under eating issues, so I wanted to include that on that page as well. But if you want to learn more about diabetic nutrition advice, you can go to that free nutrition education page on our website, go to the diabetes tab, and it'll give you nutrition advice for controlling blood sugar. Now, for today's podcast, we're looking at just regular people, non-diabetic clients. To give you some background, one of my business clients, they're a personal trainer. They are essentially, they're coaching their clients right now that calories matter the most, so that's good. Yay. If they want to have sugar, they can. He recommends you to reduce or avoid sugar to avoid crashes or to help them kind of feel fuller at their meals. If they have meals with really high sugar, it's going to digest quickly. They're going to be hungrier quickly. But he doesn't really believe that avoiding sugar is necessary. He then asked what my thoughts were on that stance. Now, to give you a background on him, he's been lean his entire life. He has always had abs and visible veins. He's competed and has achieved a natural pro card in men's physique. He's using the physique, the pro card, to promote his online business. And as he has been doing that, more and more people have been asking about nutrition, not training. And he's getting overwhelmed in realizing how little he does know about nutrition. Now, he does have a pro card. However, he was able to compete and earn his pro card by just eating chicken and rice and drinking water for 4 weeks. That was his diet. He ate chicken and rice at every meal. He would mix in like Mrs. Dash or some hot sauce and stuff and just drank water. He did that for 4 weeks, and he was lean enough to get on stage and earn a pro card. So he wants to help his clients with good, honest information, but he's never dieted in a like sustainable way or in a way that the clients would need to. He doesn't have a nutrition degree, so he decided that he would like to work together so that way he could learn how to do it properly, given the fact that he doesn't even have really an extensive knowledge background of even playing with diets on his own. So he doesn't have the certification or the formal education, but he also doesn't even have really experience with dieting. He's been lean his whole life. He only had to diet for 4 weeks and he got a pro card. So he's been very blessed, very lucky in that way. Now he has had to work. He's had to work his butt off to build muscle tissue. So his nutrition experience has been eating as much as possible to try to gain muscle tissue, which even meant like fast food eating and like junky food eating. So we've even had to talk about how do you eat healthy to gain weight, let alone how do you eat properly to lose weight. Now, we're working together so I could teach him all this, and then also I'm doing ghost programming for his clients, for his competition clients. He's some really high-level clients who want to also get pro cards, and they're competing, but he doesn't have a clue how to do their nutrition, so I'm doing it for him, and that's part of our ghost programming service. I help other trainers write programming, but their clients don't know that I'm the one writing it. I decided to do that back in the day to help a friend, and it worked out well, and that kind of got passed around that I was doing that, so it has turned into a service that I do on a regular basis now. But it helps trainers be able to give good information to their clients, but without the fear of losing their clients to me. So it's a win-win. The trainer gets to learn a lot. The client gets a lot of help. Eventually, the trainer takes over the programming on their own. I have other systems in place where if I continue to write programming for a trainer or a facility, there's a different service for that. But that's what we're doing. And in what I'm teaching him, other than the structure of how to service nutrition coaching, but in regards to the actual nutrition details, is that calories are the most important. We're talking about how to get to the proper caloric range depending on goals and individual parameters such as body fat, muscle mass, and all those things. And then also that you have to work your way up and down to those ranges correctly. I just went through a nutrition consultation with a different client earlier this week, and they had been eating around 12, 13, 1400 calories on a regular basis. They went to meet a trainer. The trainer said, hey, you should be eating 1800 to 2000, and that would actually help you lose body fat but build muscle, because they are going to also include weight training. Well, the client went from eating between 12 to 1400 up to 1800, and not surprisingly, they started gaining some weight on the scale due to water retention and that their metabolism wasn't ready for a 600 to 400 calorie jump. So they were frustrated that the trainer had them doing what they were doing, and the intent was to build muscle but lose body fat. However, they were feeling fatter than when they started with that trainer, and they could notice it around their waistline, notice it in their face, and now they're moving on to another trainer, which would be me. So I feel bad for the previous trainer, but it's a necessity for trainers to understand where a client is coming from. You can't just plug somebody into your system and have no awareness of where they're coming from, whether there needs to be some steps along the way to kind of blend that. And that's what her and I talked about, and she's now going to have all that stuff, and it's going to be the right way. But that's what I'm teaching this trainer is, yeah, we have proper ranges, we have ways of putting people where they should, but you got to also know their history. You got to know, are they coming from overeating, inconsistent eating, or undereating, and then how do we manage that? We're talking about protein. How to find the actual protein amount that somebody should have, which is really based on lean body weight, not just their current body weight. There was another person I talked to this week, and they weighed 180 pounds, and their trainer just made them start eating 180 grams of protein. However, it was a female. She had not been eating that much. She had only been eating maybe 110 to 130 grams. And that's actually where her lean body weight would probably be, is down around 130 to 140. So going up to 180 all of a sudden was super laborsome, not very fun, had a lot of like digestive issues. And it's like, man, trainer's got to know a little bit better about this. You can't just take somebody's body weight and that's the amount of weight that like protein they should have if their body fat percentage isn't relatively low. You want to have it based off of lean body weight, not just regular body weight. We're also talking about timing. And to understand that if the goal is weight management, that the timing of your food really doesn't matter. They've shown that in a lot of studies. You can eat one meal a day, 7 meals a day, 4 meals a day. It doesn't really matter if your goal is weight management. However, if your goal is body composition, you're meaning you want to maximize body composition, reduce body fat, build muscle, keep water retention low, then timing does matter. So we're talking about that. We're also talking about carbs versus fat, and that it should not be based off of a daily percentage. That is archaic and doesn't match well. Because if the percentage is based off of a consistent lifestyle, most people don't have a consistent lifestyle. So one of the clients, for example, they were told to eat, 45% of their diet was, I think it was the protein and everything was off, but in general, they were recommending something equivalent of 45% of your diet should be carbohydrates. 25% should be fats and 30% would be protein, if that all added up to 100. But the idea is they were given a percentage of each day, and that was how they should divide up their carbs and fats. That's not correct. That's not actually physiologically the best way. The better way is to, per meal, decide what do I need at this meal. Am I in an active time of my day? Am I going to eat this meal and need and use these calories right away? It's better for me to eat carbohydrates because they digest faster. They're available faster. If I'm not doing much, if I'm sedentary, kind of sitting around at the computer, then it's probably going to be better for me to eat a mixed meal, and I actually might lean more towards fats because they digest slowly. Since I don't really need the energy released right away, I kind of want it sustainably released, then fats would be a better choice. So it's better to decide on carbs and fats per meal, not just on a percentage basis of the day. Then we're getting into nutrition for specific conditions such as arthritis, diabetes, gluten intolerance, and a whole lot of other things. And then finally, we're getting into these more nuanced-y type questions, such as, does sugar intake matter? So now we're finally into the topic of the podcast. So I apologize for all that beforehand information, but I wanted to kind of set the mood, set the situation, set the tone for when this type of conversation actually matters. So that way we have a bigger scope of where this type of information should be in our priority list. Meaning, am I going to start worrying about sugars before I have accounted for proper calories? No. Calories are more important. Protein is more important. Timing is more important. The understanding of when to have carbs versus fats is more important. It is important to understand sugar intake, but you got to know that other stuff as well. Now, if sugar intake is kept within our calorie, protein, and timing targets, meaning I'm not eating sugar that's creating a caloric surplus, like my total daily calories. So if I'm supposed to have 2,000 calories a day, and all of a sudden I'm eating, 2,400 calories a day because I ate an extra 400 calories of sugar, we're not talking about a surplus. What we're talking about in today's podcast and what this trainer was asking was, if we're within our macros, does the amount of sugar I eat in a day really matter? The answer is a little bit of yes, a little bit of no, as it always is. So I'm probably very annoying with that. But I always like giving the honesty of the answer rather than giving some black and white stuff that doesn't always apply. So when we ingest large amounts of sugar at a meal, depending on the fat content of that meal, it can change the digestion rate. But in general, when we consume a large amount of sugar at a meal, the calories of that meal get digested and dumped into the bloodstream very quickly. Sugars are digested, they start digesting through the lining in your cheeks. They start digesting very quickly. So carbohydrates, especially sugars, are a very, very, very fast digesting nutrient source, and it kind of, dumps into your body right away. Since the calories are dumped into the bloodstream faster, there's a reduction in that moment of the caloric deficit that we might have at that moment, or it could actually cause a momentary surplus. Meaning, I have a bunch of calories dumped into my system that I really don't need now, and I can't even use them right now. So what happens in that moment is we either have a reduction of the deficit that we would typically want, or so much is dumped into the system that it actually creates a surplus. If a reduction of a deficit is created, but it's still in a deficit, then it slows down the rate of fat loss until those calories are burned or distributed or managed with, and then regular rate of fat loss kind of picks back up. If it creates a momentary surplus, then fat loss stops altogether. We might actually have some storage of those calories in the moment to create body fat. It's going to be very minimal, absolutely incredibly small amount if it does happen, but it's still happening, depending on the amount and situationally where you're at in the day and body's demands and whatnot. But fat loss is going to stop during that time as the body processes those calories, figures out what to do with everything, because it doesn't have any need to burn body fat in that moment if it has a surplus of energy coming in from the sugars that you just ate. So when you have sugar, depending on the caloric amount and whether there's fat in it or not, and depending on the amount that you have, it can reduce fat burning and or stop fat burning altogether. Then that means the more often we do this during the day, the more significant of an impact that can have on our overall progress. If I have a high amount of sugar intake momentarily, randomly throughout the day, say 1 to 2 times every day, it is going to have a more significant impact on my overall rate of fat loss than if that were to happen only 1 or 2 times a week. Let's say, for example, somebody's at 30%+ body fat. Likely, these momentary sugar intakes aren't really going to slow things down in a noticeable way. You have a lot of other things going in your favor. You're going to have a lot of rate freedom. The body's going to have a lot of freedom and encouragement and okayness with letting go of body fat at that body fat percentage. However, if you're under 10% body fat, let's think of somebody getting ready for contest prep and their fat loss is kind of plateaued and they just, something's happening. They're kind of hitting this wall. They can't get leaner. They can't get leaner. They can't get leaner. Then they are going to want to look at glucose like release into the bloodstream when they eat their meals. They want to better control that because that might be those small little momentary issues that are slowing things down. So it depends on the person. It depends on the frequency of the sugar intake and the amount of the sugar intake and whether you have it mixed with other nutrients or not, which might slow down the rate of the sugar digestion. So if everything else is in place, calories are correct, protein's correct, timing's correct, your carbs versus fats usage is correct, but things are plateaued or progressing very slowly, then the amount of sugar you consume is something you want to look at and see if you're having large amounts at sections of the day and try to reduce that and spread that out. That would be the goal. Now, a question that this brings up and that the trainer and I talked about is, what about sugars before a workout? I have recommended, and I know you've heard me if you've listened to the podcast for a while, that it's okay to consume sugar before a workout. You can actually drink some Gatorade powder. I tell that all the time, is you can drink some Gatorade powder, super easy, cheap way to get some sugars before a workout. You can do fruit juice. You can do a lot of other things. Sugars before a workout can be helpful to provide energy for the workout and to reduce the severity of the deficit that you're creating by the workout. So if you're coming into a workout fasted or way behind on food, if it's a workout later in the day, then consuming sugar before the workout is a good idea because it can help increase your energy and your performance and your just output in the workout. You can actually end up burning more calories in the workout by having better energy. You can perform better, lift a couple extra reps, 5 or 10 pounds extra, you know, in weight. You just have a better performance in the workout, much better stimulus. That then not only burns a little more extra calories during the workout, but it also increases the caloric burn during the recovery of the workout. We burn more calories trying to recover from a very high demand, high performance workout than we would a low demand, low performance workout. So it's kind of an investment. Is I'm going to put a little bit of sugars in my face so I can have an amazing kick-ass workout so I can burn more calories than the sugars had in the aftermath of the workout. And then we don't want to, if you're coming into the workout fasted, to have it cause such a severe deficit that your body during the rest of the day tries to protect the body fat that it has and actually tries to replace as much as it possibly can, because we actually went too low into a deficit. We overly stressed the body. We actually reminded the body why body fat was needed, because, for example, body fat is stored energy. So our body has some protection to run the organs and do what it needs to do when we don't have food coming in. That's kind of the design of body fat. Why did our body ever decide to store body fat? Is, okay, sometimes I have food, sometimes I do not, but I always have to run my organs so I can stay alive. So when I have more food than I need, let me save some of that for when I don't have as much food as I need. So that way I can always run my organs. It was a way for the body to protect itself and stay alive. Whenever we work out in a fasted state, so we're already coming into the workout with less than what our body needs, and then we bury it. Maybe we take a bunch of caffeine, enough caffeine to kill a horse, and we crush the workout. We feel great. We're like, man, I chewed through so much body fat. I had a great workout. I feel amazing. Internally, you feel like absolute shit. The caffeine is masking that. But internally, your body's going through hell, and it's saying, holy crap, we didn't have anywhere near enough what we needed to do all of that. Any body fat that was lost, let's stop, let's not give up anymore, and let's try to replace that, because if they ever do that again, how the hell are we going to have enough energy? If they were to do that every single day and we give up all this body fat every single day, then we're going to die because we're going to have no body fat left. They miss one meal, the organs shut down. So when we create too much of a deficit by working out in a fasted state, it actually makes fat loss harder. So consuming sugar before a workout is great for increasing performance, which increases our adaptive responses, including the caloric burn during recovery. But it also helps reduce that severity of deficit, which can actually make fat loss harder throughout the rest of the day. So if needed to get energy into the body quickly, to be available for the workout, sugars are okay. Can you eat something non-sugary? Yes, but you have to eat it far enough ahead of the workout that it digests and is available during the workout. If you're waking up and then working out in 15 minutes, sugars are the answer. You're not going to digest a bunch of fats. You're not going to digest a whole lot of food. You're probably not even going to want to eat a whole lot of food if you have to work out in 15 minutes. Let's say that you had breakfast, you had a lot of meetings, you missed lunch, and now it's after work, 4:30, you're driving to the gym and you're supposed to work out, but all you had was breakfast. You are way the hell behind. You would benefit from sugars so you can have a good workout. So moments where we're severely underfed and or fasted, sugars can be helpful when it's before a workout. Other than around workout times, though, it's usually best to reduce sugar intake, with the strictness of that reduction being dependent on the rate of progress that you would like to see and your adherence to the higher significance factors. Meaning, do I need to worry about the strictness of my sugar intake if I'm not even counting my calories? No. I need to focus on counting my calories first, then come back and visit the sugars. Do I need to worry about how much sugar I'm intaking if I don't even know how much protein I'm consuming? No. Go figure out the protein first, then come back to the sugar problem. So we have to maintain those higher priority factors first, make sure they're in place, and then we would work on and consider the sugar intake. So hopefully that was helpful. I thought that was kind of a fun, more nuancey type topic for a nutrition podcast. Normally we don't get into these kind of little details, but I would love to do it more often if people think that's interesting. And if you do think it's interesting, let me know any topics or any questions you have that you feel might be small and nuanced and maybe too detailed to be a podcast. Try me. Let's figure it out. You know, if somebody listens to the podcast that day and they're like, oh, this is too nuanced, I'm not really interested, there are 1,981 other podcasts that they can check out if they want some more information that day. But if you like these kind of smaller detail ones, just let me know. And then also throw out some questions or throw out some topics. You can always email me or message me. The message me through the website is actually the easiest for me. So you can go to the website, www.brutalirongym.com. On the bottom of the homepage is a way that you can reach out. You could email me. You could also, you know, do it through social media. We have a channel on Instagram, channel on YouTube. I do have a channel on Facebook and X. Now, it's not Twitter anymore, but X. But I don't really check Facebook or Twitter, so I wouldn't recommend messaging me on there. And don't bother LinkedIn. Golly, that is so much garbage. So Instagram and the website are probably the best ways to get a hold of me if you want to send any feedback or send any questions for the podcast. Awesome. Well, if you like the podcast, please share the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people it can help. If you like the podcast, you can also consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on the website. And if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.